Tonight we come to messages 3 and 4 in our book on the evening line. Are you ready for round 3 of the healthy words? Amen. The spiritual antibiotics. I believe evening by evening the Lord is shining, speaking, healing, renewing our minds through His Word. So this morning, this evening, again, very good to just open our being, turn our heart, exercise our spirit to receive the Word tonight. As we begin tonight, I'd like to read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 8. And as I read them, I would really be encouraged if you would like to give a good amen when I pause. Amen?
Amen.
You could write down these verses, Hebrews 8, 10 through 12. But I'll just read them to you and you can respond. For this is the covenant.
Amen.
For this is the covenant.
Amen.
Which I will covenant with the house of Israel.
Amen.
After those days.
Amen.
Says the Lord.
Amen.
Says the Lord.
Amen.
I will impart my laws into their mind.
Amen.
And on their hearts I will inscribe them.
Amen.
And I will be God to them.
Amen.
And they will be a people to me.
Amen.
And they shall by no means each teach his fellow citizen and each his brother.
Amen.
Saying, know the Lord.
Amen.
For all will know me.
Amen.
From the little one.
Amen.
To the great one among them.
Amen.
For I will be propitious to their unrighteousnesses.
Amen.
And their sins.
Amen.
And their sins.
Amen.
I shall by no means.
Amen.
Remember anymore.
Amen.
When I read these verses of the new covenant, I can't help but rejoice. I hope you would love these verses. Whenever you read in the Bible, God says, I will. You just say, hallelujah.
Amen.
God says, I will.
Amen.
And in these verses, God just says, I will. I will, I will, I will. We just need to be open and to allow God to work out all of these things in our being. I want to emphasize this one phrase tonight from the New Covenant. He says, all of them will know me. All of them will know me. We should take this as a promise. Yeah, all of us will know Him. Isn't this good? This whole week, what are we doing? We're knowing. We want to know God.
Amen.
We want to see God and gain God in the midst of this godless age. And the Lord has promised us that all will know me. Not all might know me. Sooner or later, you will know Him. Why not sooner rather than later? So I believe the Lord is showing us, meeting by meeting, more of Himself. And there's a lot for us to cover tonight. You may be new. You may be, I think I heard last night there was a sister who just graduated from high school. You might be a freshman. You might feel like, I'm just a little one. But you know what? The little ones shall know Him.
Amen.
You might say, oh man, I've been here for a long time. I'm more than a super senior. I'm not sure what to call you. Yeah, senior, super senior. Maybe we call it super duper senior. Yeah. You've taken the scenic route through your university years. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is sovereign.
Amen.
From the little one to the great one among us, all will know me. So tonight, I'd like to just share one other thing before we come to outline 4. So if you want to open your book, you could turn to outline 4 first, and then we'll come to 3. What I wanted to say was, we've seen that we need to know God in message 1 in the midst of this godless age. Message 2, we saw that we need to believe that God is. We enjoyed knowing God Himself and knowing His name, I Am, last night. And what I'd like to tell you is this. There are aspects of God or attributes of God that God alone possesses. God alone, we can't participate in those aspects or attributes. For example, the Godhead, right? Don't we say in the high peak of the divine revelation, we would become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. So the Godhead is part of God that we don't participate in. We're never going to become God in the sense of being able to be worshipped by others. So this is for God himself, God alone. We saw last night that God is sovereign. He's the potter, right? We're not the potter. We don't rule over our situations as God does. So this is another aspect. He's the creator. He's the creator. Only he can create. A few other things I was thinking about. He's the head. In the body of Christ, he's the unique head, right? None of us is the head. That's why all of us, when we're considering what to do, where to go, we all need to come to the Lord, right? We should always be directed by the head, who is Christ himself. None of us are the head. In this family, he's the father. He has the fatherhood, if you will. Yeah, I don't think that word is in the Bible, but the fatherhood, right? Only he is the father. We're the sons. We're the children of God, but only he is the father. So there's aspects of God that only he possesses. He is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent, right? All of these are aspects of what God is. With these aspects, dear young people, we need to recognize them. We need to revere God, fear God, honor God, and worship God. We will never have a part in these aspects of God. But there's also aspects or attributes of God that he decided that he wanted to share with man. And that's what we come to tonight. God has decided that he would like you to have his life. What do you think about that? Isn't that amazing? Amen. That a man could have the life of God? Why did he do this? I don't know. Thank you, Lord. He wants us to have his life. He wants us to partake of his nature. We'll see tonight. What is his nature? He wants us to partake of his nature. Even some of his attributes. Not everyone. We'll read some of his attributes tonight. But many of his attributes, he desires that we would partake of them. So God wants to share what he is with man. He wants to dispense what he is into man. And this is to know God in a further way. We need to know God as God, but we also need to know God, his life, his nature, and his attributes. So I hope this is helpful to you and is clear. We revere, we fear, we honor God in some aspects. In other aspects, we need to enjoy him and partake of him. So we come to outline 4. How about let's read the title together? Enjoying what God is, his attributes. So tonight we want to take a turn and begin enjoying what God is. We've been knowing, we've been believing. Now we want to enjoy. When we refer to God's attributes refer to all that belongs to God. His attributes, all that belongs to God. His characteristics. These are his attributes. And what I'd like to do is we're just going to read through the outline of message 4. I'll share a little bit on a couple points, and then we'll go to 3. So how about let's do it this way. Let's have the brothers read Roman numeral 1 of the strong spirit, and the sisters give a strong amen, and then sisters 2, and so on. We'll go all the way down to Roman numeral 14. All right, we'll end with 14. We'll leave 15 for a little bit, but we'll just read all of these wonderful attributes of God. All right, so brothers 1, sisters 2, alternating. Let's really enjoy these points. Ready, brothers? Go. Righteousness. Amen. Glory. Amen. I'm not in charge of the testing here, but it may be good. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow night or something to maybe have a little test on these 14 attributes. Yeah, that might be something that, you know, it's kind of like a long verse. Yeah, it's not too bad. And you may even come up with a, you know, an acronym, RHG. Yeah, you know, way to memorize these 14 attributes. But these would be very good. I just have time to cover the first two with you tonight, but I just encourage you in your study time maybe to read through the others and the points. This outline is really rich. I wish we had more time. I just want to fellowship a little bit with you about righteousness. Righteousness. Righteousness refers to what God is in his action with respect to justice and righteousness. What God is in his action with respect to justice and righteousness. So we see in Psalm 89:14, I think we had this verse, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. The very throne of God is based on righteousness and justice. Everything that God does is righteous. God is righteous in all that he does, in all his ways. Everything he does is righteous. And so in letter A, it says righteousness is related to God's outward acts, his ways, his actions and activities. Everything God does is righteous. We just need to say amen to these words. Amen. Psalm 145:17 says, Jehovah is righteous in all his ways and faithfully kind in all his doings. Isn't that good? He's righteous in all his ways and faithfully kind in all his doings. So everything that God does is righteous. When he comes to deal with us, everything he does is righteous. And you may say, oh boy, God is righteous. Man, I don't know if I really like his righteousness. But I'd like to give you some encouraging words tonight. Our experience of Christ is based on his righteousness. Just consider this. In Romans 1, it says that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to Jew first and to Greek. For the righteousness of God is revealed in it. Did you know the gospel reveals the righteousness of God? Through the gospel, we see God's righteousness. But it's not a righteousness to condemn us. It's a righteousness to save us. Because Christ has died and fulfilled all of God's righteous requirements. Amen. Now when we believe into Christ, our faith, right? We hear the word generates faith in us. We believe. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Amen. Then what must God do? He must justify us. Amen. He must forgive us. Amen. He must cleanse us. He must save us. He doesn't have a choice. Isn't this good? God can't go back and say, you know what, I saved you yesterday, but today you did something really bad. You know what? I'm going to go back on. Yeah, no, you're not saved. You're not saved. I didn't know you were that bad. God cannot do that. Righteousness is the foundation of his throne. He can't change. He can't save you and then later on say you're not saved. So, dear young people, we should rejoice in the righteousness of God. Amen. Because his righteousness is the power of the gospel. And this is the power we need to share with others, that through our believing in Christ's blood, in Christ's sacrifice for us, we are justified. Our faith brings in God's justifying. So God cannot go back. The righteous, it says, the righteous shall have life and live by faith. So we become righteous. We believe in the righteous one and we become righteous. God says, you are righteous because you believed in my son. Isn't this good? Dear young people, you can never lose your salvation. Your salvation is secure. It's eternal. It will never end. This should be a strong encouragement to us whenever we feel or the enemy lies to us or we feel we failed the Lord. Never forget that your salvation is based on His righteousness. So in letter B, our experience of Christ rests on the foundation of God's righteousness. It's solid. It's secure. And not only for our salvation, but dear young people, I think in our experience, many times we experience the Lord, we enjoy the Lord, the college training, the conferences, then we go home, we have a failure. The enemy says, oh, look at you. Oh, you're just the same. You didn't change. You're just the same. Shut up, Satan. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. I'm not the same. Amen. In John 1:9, dear young people, this verse should encourage us, strengthen us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whenever we come to the Lord, even morning by morning, I don't know about you, when you come to the Lord, do you come to the Lord based on your feeling? You know what, I'm feeling pretty good today. I think I can come to the Lord. Oh, I'm not feeling really good. I better not come to the Lord. Oh, last night, oh, it was such a good meeting. Oh, I can come to the Lord. Oh, yesterday I binge watched. Yeah. You know what? I think I better wait for a few days before I can come to the Lord. Our standing, our basis for coming to the Lord is not our behavior. It's not because you're good and it's not because you're bad. Your coming to the Lord is based on His righteousness. You come because Christ has died for you. Don't we sing 1048? O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea. We don't have anything that we can come to the Lord by. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, it says in Isaiah. But we come because of the blood, because He shed His blood, so we can come. So every morning, young people, you can come to the Lord. You don't have to wait. When you sin, when you have a failure, the Lord is so happy if right away you would believe in His blood. Amen. We need to believe in His blood more than we believe in our failure. Amen. Don't believe in your failure. Your failure is not real. Believe in His blood. Amen. His blood was shed. This is His righteousness. This is the foundation for us to come to God. You see how you need to know God? If you don't know this, you can have a failure. You can sin. You can get discouraged. You can get condemned by the enemy. And you could waste a whole week thinking, oh, I can't go to the Bible study. I failed again. Oh, I don't know if I should go to the prayer meeting. Oh, no. You know what? I'll go Lord's Day, but if we don't know God's righteousness, if we don't know how to apply the blood, we miss out. We spend precious time condemning ourselves rather than applying the blood and coming forward to the throne of grace, right? Come forward. Come forward, brothers. Come forward, sisters, with boldness through the blood of Jesus. Right? This is our standing. If you know Christ, if you know God and His righteousness in this way, you will save much time, much time. The Lord will grow in you, will advance in you in a very quick way. So I hope you would remember this. Every morning, this is my prayer. Lord, I just come to You. Lord, I just take You as my sin offering. Lord, I'm just sin. Doesn't matter how good I was. Doesn't matter what I shared last night. I'm still sin. So I just need the Lord as my sin offering. Lord, You're my trespass offering. Any sins, any thoughts I had, oh, Lord, just forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. This is our solid base. So I leave you with one sentence. God is righteous to condemn sin, to judge sin. God is also righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from every sin when we confess. This is the promise. There's no sin, young people, that the Lord's blood cannot cleanse us from. He said every sin. We must believe this. We must experience this. So this is one of God's attributes. He is righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us. Okay, number two is holiness. Holiness. What is holiness? In Revelation 4:8, the four living creatures, it says they have no rest day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is and who is coming. Holy, holy, holy." Surely referencing our wonderful triune God. Amen. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. This is our holy God. He is holy. What does it mean to be holy? In A, how about let's read this together. God is transcendent, different from everything else, extraordinary and distinct from all common things. This is what it means to be holy, to be unique, to be distinct, to be transcendent. God is the Holy One, the Holy One. And what's amazing is that God wants us to be holy. So just as He is holy, Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the High and Exalted One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place." He's the Holy One. His name is holy. But in letter B, we see we become holy. What? I thought only God is holy. But remember in Ephesians 1:4, He chose us, what? To be holy. He wants us to be the same as He is. He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, to be holy. Now, He is holy. How can we be holy? In B, we become holy by being mingled, permeated, and saturated with God. This is the way that we would become holy. He dispenses His holy nature into us. I was just realizing again, as I looked at my Bible the other day, you know what it says on the front of your Bible? Holy Bible. You know how to become holy? Open up that Holy Bible. Just get into that Holy Bible. Oh, spend time with the Holy God in the Holy Bible. This is really the secret. The more you're in the Word, young people, not just this week, it's so good that you're memorizing verses and having fellowship and study, getting into the Word, but just make a resolution. Just say, "Lord, every day, I just want to spend some time in the Word." If you do this, you will notice a change in you little by little. A change in appetite, a change in desire. Those things that you're struggling with, like, "Oh, I just can't give that. Oh, I just really like, boy, that website, that game," whatever it is. Just be in the Holy Word. Yeah, just don't even say, "I'm not going to do it." Because you know when you say you're not going to do it, that's the good, the law of good in our mind. And once we say we won't do it, then the law of sin says, "Oh, yeah?" Just don't activate that law of sin and death, right? Activate the law of life by just being in the Word. Yeah, by just opening to the Lord. Let the Lord come in and make you as holy as He is. In Thessalonians, the God of peace Himself, He's sanctifying us wholly. Our spirit, our soul, and our body would be preserved complete. Eventually, at the end of the Bible, what do we see, young people? What's there at the end? A holy city. A holy city. So in eternity past, He chose us to be holy. In time, He's sanctifying us through His holy word. and for eternity, we will be, no doubt about it, the holy city. So this is holiness. God himself is holy, and he wants us, in Hebrews 12:10, it says that we might partake of his holiness. Yeah, he wants us to partake of his holiness. So this is one of the attributes of God that he wants us to enjoy, to become the same as he is. Oh, this is wonderful. Even to be his holy bride. Now, I'd like to skip ahead just to the last Roman numeral, all right, in outline 4. Again, I encourage you, if you have time in your groups, just to read through the outline. It's very nourishing, enlightening, but we need to move on to 3. So can we read Roman numeral 15? Roman numeral 15, the very last Roman numeral together. As we remain under God's dispensing day after day, his attributes will be dispensed and infused into us. Then they will become our virtues. So how to be under God's dispensing, young people? Number one, through the Spirit. Touch the Spirit. Exercise your spirit. The more you're enjoying the Lord, the singing was just so encouraging, enlivening, strengthening tonight. Enjoy the Lord day by day. Touch him in your spirit through prayer, through calling, through singing. This is the way to receive his dispensing. Then also to be in the Word. And I'll mention that again a few more times. Through his Word, he's dispensing all that he is into us. And third, I would give you another way to be under his dispensing is to be in the church life. To be in the church life. We all need the church life. We can't make it by ourselves. Don't just read the Bible by yourself, pray by yourself, but be with those, right? Pursue, flee and pursue with those. The church life is the best place that we can enjoy his dispensing day by day. Amen. Be in a home meeting. Do you have a home? Not only your home where you live, but you need everyone needs a home. We all need a home, a family that we can be with, to eat together and to fellowship and to enjoy God's dispensing. When you enjoy God's dispensing, what will happen? These attributes of God, they will get constituted into you. And eventually they will be expressed through you. This is what the Lord Jesus was. He was a man who expressed the divine attributes through human virtues. What a man he was, right? Read the Gospels. What kind of person was he? He just would be with people, right? In Luke 15, it says that he was there eating with the tax collectors and sinners. He was the holy, righteous God. And sometimes I don't understand, how could he do this? He's so holy. He is holy, and he's righteous. But yet the sinners, the tax collectors, they were comfortable being with him. How did this happen? I don't know. And then he just walked by the seashore and he just called, Jacob, follow me. Jacob, follow me. Follow me. Yeah, I'm not Jesus. Yeah, so he's a little hesitant. Follow me. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Amen. Philip at the tax collector's office, IRS, follow me, follow me, follow me. Oh, good. Amen. He followed me more quickly. Amen. What was it? Why did these young men leave everything and follow him? Because the divine attributes were expressed through human virtues. He wasn't beautiful. It wasn't his looks. It wasn't his athletic ability. It was God shining through him. So you know what words we use to describe Jesus? Aromatic. Fragrant. There was just a smell to him. Yeah, not to me. Yeah, to Jesus. He had a smell about him that just was so attractive, even though he wasn't beautiful physically. But there was just an attraction a drawing that caused young men to leave everything and to follow him. Isn't that something? Thank you, brothers. Thank you, brothers. This is Jesus. And you know what? If we experience the Lord, there will be some expression in our lives as well. Yeah. How about we experience his attributes in the next month, and then as we go back to school, some people walk by our table at UW, Christian students, or what? Yeah, Christians on campus, whatever the name is, and they come by, and they just see some lovely smiling sisters singing love songs to the Lord at the table, and they're just like, I want to be with you guys. Where do you guys meet? Where do you live? I want to be with you. This is real. Yeah, saints have testified this, that they came into church life. They just saw the saints. They just came to one meeting, and there was just something there of the divine attributes which had been experienced and enjoyed and constituted into some saints, and they were expressed. This is so attractive. May the Lord gain us and dispense himself more into us. Okay, we have to move along more quickly to outline three. So if you can go back, we will go back so that we can go forward. All right. Roman numeral 3. So there's more to enjoy, young people. Are you ready to enjoy?
Amen.
Enjoy his attributes. Then let's read the title for message 3. Enjoying what God is, his life and nature. Roman numeral 1, let's read. We need to partake of God's life. God wants man to have his life. I don't know if this impresses you. The greatest miracle, my dear brothers and sisters, the greatest miracle is that a human being could have the life of God. There's nothing greater than this. To be healed, that's nice, but eventually you'll die. But to have the life of God, and we'll see what kind of life this is. God wants you to have his life, and he wants you to have it abundantly. Abundantly. Not just a little trickle. Abundantly. A river. A river of life, right? We sang about it, this river of life flowing within us. He wants to deepen that river. He wants to enlarge that river. We need to partake of God's life. The word partake here means to enjoy, to participate in. Just imagine if tonight you're waiting in that line, or this afternoon, one of the meals, you're waiting in the line. Oh, man, can't wait to get that shrimp stir fry. Ooh, smells so good. You're waiting for 20 minutes, get up to the front of the line. They say, here's the shrimp stir fry. You can look at it. You can think about it. All right, see you guys later. What? I came to partake. Right? God's life is for partaking. It's not just for us to know about it and look at it and look at other people who are enjoying God's life. We're praying that all of you would partake of God's life this week. Don't wait. Don't just watch. Oh, wow, that brother's really enjoying God's life. Jump in. Jump in. Get out of ourselves, exercise our spirit, open our mouth. We need to partake of God's life. In the beginning in Genesis, what is there? The tree of life in the middle of the garden. At the end of the Bible, what is there? Revelation, a river of water of life and the tree of life in the river. So from beginning to end, this is God's desire that we would partake of his life. Now, how can we partake of his life? In letter A, in the whole universe, only the life of God can be counted as life. So when we talk about life, we're referring to God's life, the Zoe life. Where is this life? 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has the life. The life of God is in his Son. If you want to enjoy life, you have to touch the Son. You have to receive the Son. You have to enjoy the Son. The life is in his Son. You can never separate the Son from his life. It's not like a power or a force. Oh, I want to enjoy God's life. But Lord, you're over there. No, it's the Son. His life is the Son. Life is God. So we need to touch him. We need to enjoy him. John 14:6, I am the life. I am the life. The Lord himself is the life. Only the life of God is the real life. All other lives are just figures, are types. All other lives pass away. Only his life can be considered the real life. All the lives in God's creation are figures, types, and shadows of the real life. I'll give you another reference verse. 1 Timothy 6:19. You know what it says? It talks about the really life. The really life. The life in the world that people apparently are enjoying is not the really life. That's the temporal life. That's a life of vanity, of emptiness. The real life, young people, is the life of God. The real life is the life that you're enjoying right now. In this college training, you are enjoying, you are tasting, you are touching the really life. All the beauties of the different types of lives are types of the beauty of Christ as life. And all the varieties of life are a type of the riches of Christ as life. Let's read letter B together. God's life is the eternal life. It is a super life, a life without beginning or end, and without the limitations of time and space. You should underline the word eternal. This is one aspect of God's life. It's eternal. Not only does eternal mean no beginning and no end, right? Eternal means no beginning. No beginning to this life. No end to this life. But eternal also means perfect in quality. It's perfect. There's no defect. There's no shortage in the eternal life. Yeah, it's full. It's complete. It's perfect. This is the life of God. And this is the life that he wants us to partake of. Dear young people, you can have a super life. Yeah, not a Superman life, but a super life. A life that's not subject to kryptonite. Yeah, that's not limited. That life is too short. Sorry. I have the eternal life. A life that will never end. That's perfect and complete. In this verse, John 4:14, what does it say? Whoever drinks of the water I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water gushing up into eternal life. I don't know if you really have read this verse carefully. A few years ago, I read it carefully, and I really got excited. The Lord says that he will give us. He will give you, right? I will give him. The water I will give him. So it's like maybe a cup. The Lord gives us a cup. Yeah, the water I will give him. So he gives you a drink. So I give John a drink. All right? You want to stand up, John? Okay. Amen. So the Lord says, John, believe in me. Drink this water. You'll never thirst. John takes a drink. All right. Now, the last part of the verse, let's read it, John. What does it say? The water that I will give him. So he just gave you some water. You drank that water, right?
Yep.
So let's see. When I need more water, I better go back to ask him for more water, right? No. The water that I will give him, let's read this phrase, will become in him a fountain of water. So John, just one drink of the Lord did this. Water came in, and now within you is a fountain of water. It's like sparklets. Yeah, a water fountain is installed in you. You took one drink, but now there's a fountain in you. John, there's a fountain in you.
Amen.
So why do I emphasize this? Because you don't need to go somewhere. It's within. And now it says that this fountain of water, it's gushing up. It's gushing up. Let's sing it together. Spring up, oh well, within my spirit, rise up and tell, so all can hear it, spring up, oh well. Till I experience that life abundantly. What would happen if we realized that the spring is within us, but we think that it has to do with our environment? Oh, things are not so good outside, so I don't have a spring. I'm not gushing. I'm not really happy. But it's within you. The spring is within you. One drink, install the spring. And that spring is gushing up. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. You can enjoy that spring wherever you are. You're walking to campus. You're taking a midterm. You're working on a project at 2 a.m. There's still a spring. Oh, even just a simple turn and call of the Lord's name. Lord Jesus. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, biochem is too hard. Lord, I don't remember all the pathways, but I remember the pathway to my spirit. Lord Jesus. You just drink anywhere you are, young people. He's so real. This life has been installed in us. The eternal life is within you. Now, I just give you one practical word. What if you don't feel that eternal life springing up so much? Oh, when I'm with the saints, when I'm in the meeting, oh, it's springing. It's so good. When I go home, of course, we don't expect that your daily life would be like the college training on the ceiling. Yeah, we got to take care of our responsibilities. But we should have a well. We should have a springing up in us all the time. Now, if you don't have the spring, you know what may have happened? There may be dirt. Because in the Old Testament in Numbers, there was a well, but that well needed to be dug. Needed to be dug. So here's a practical word for you. If you feel the water is not springing up as much as it should, as much as it has before, you may need to spend a little time with the Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord, empty me out. Lord, my mind, what are my imaginations, my thoughts? What have I been thinking about? The Lord may shine a little light. You need to confess. Your emotions, yeah, your troublesome emotions. You're high, you're low, you're down, you're up, you're all around. Your will, is your will submissive to the Lord? You may be stubborn. No, I'm not open to that. I'm not willing. Let the Lord dig out, dig away. We have a song in our hymnal, right? Dig away. Yeah, good song. Encourage you to sing that. If you feel there's not much of a flow, the reason is because we have to dig out the dirt. Then the flow will be there again. But I think in many of you, the flow is flowing. There's a gushing up in your innermost being. Okay. We need to go on. C says God's life is the uncreated life. Isn't that good? Uncreated. Although it is uncreated, listen to this. It is creating. What? It's uncreated life, but his life is creating. This life is always creating something positive in our church life, family life, and Christian life. Isn't that encouraging? I would encourage you in the morning, touch this life before you contact another human being. Yeah, touch this life, even if it's just a short time. Before you contact other people, touch this life. I've learned this. I mentioned to you already that I have four daughters. I need to touch this life every morning. Otherwise, it's not going to be a good day. Right? I need to touch this life. Why? Because this life will create something positive. When I touch this life, and then I come out and I see my kids, daddy's different. It's a happy daddy. Something positive was created in daddy before he came and addressed the mess in the kitchen downstairs. Oh, we have to touch this life. Always something positive will come out. If you don't touch this life, what do we have? Right? We just have our soul life, our flesh. There's nothing good. Nothing good in us dwells. So we have to touch this life, experience this life. D says God's life is the resurrection life. It is a life that has passed through death, proving that death is unable to do anything with it. We need to know, young people, increasingly, the resurrection life. You know, as you get older, you may have relatives, friends, people that you know that pass away, right? It's not easy to lose someone. How do you confront death? By the resurrection life. The resurrection life in your spirit can overcome all the death situations. Not only physical death, someone dying, the loss of someone, but even psychological death, right? The byproducts of death, anxiety, depression, right? Discouragement. So many things these days that young people are dealing with and they don't know how to deal with. But there's a resurrection life in your spirit that will strengthen you, that will encourage you, that will rise up within you, even when things around you are difficult, even when things may be discouraging. There's a resurrection life in our spirit. It has passed through death. The life in your spirit has passed through death. Amen. And the life in your spirit will pass through death. Death cannot hold this resurrection life. We need to know it. We need to touch it. We need to experience it. Letter E says God's life is indestructible. Nothing can destroy or dissolve it. And nothing on earth, in heaven, or in hell can deal with it. Another word for indestructible is indissoluble. Yeah, indissoluble. God's life is indestructible, indissoluble. That means no matter what it passes through, it still remains. Sometimes what happens in our life, our human life, we hear some news, we get a text, oh no, oh, something not good happened. Someone, something, and that news is just like water poured on us, and we're just like clay, right? Aren't we made of clay? Yeah, our natural life, our human life. So the water being poured on the clay, what happens? That news, it just starts to dissolve us. We just dissolve. We just melt. We can't handle it. But the life of God, it's indissoluble. The life of God is like pouring water on a stone. The stone just shines. It gets clean. It looks bigger. The stone doesn't dissolve. This is the life of God. The life of God is indestructible, young people. Nothing can destroy it or dissolve it. May we know this life. The Lord wants you to know His life, right? To know God. What is it to know God? It's to know His life. It's to experience His life in your daily life. His life is not just for us to experience in the meetings. His life is for our daily life. It's for all the things we're going through. All the things you're dealing with as a college student. You need to know this life. Now, letter F says, the nature of this life is the exact opposite of the nature of the human life. The nature of the human life is weak and fragile, but the nature of the divine eternal life is strong. This strong divine life can resolve the problems of human weakness and fragility. So this life is strong. Dear young people, know this life. This life will strengthen you, will uplift you, will encourage you, even when things around are difficult. G, God's desire, God's heart and desire are that He would be life to us, that we would receive Him and take Him as life. The more we take Him as life, the more we please Him. Do you want to please the Lord? Right? Sometimes we think we please the Lord by our behavior, by what we can do. Actually, the best way to please Him is just to take His life. Right? What shall I give unto the Lord? I'll take the cup of salvation. Call on His name. Right? Just receive His life. This is what makes Him happy. You know, I was thinking about Genesis 2:9, which talks about the Garden of Eden. And we know Eden means pleasure. Right? God wants to be our pleasure. But you know, I read it, this time I read it in a different way. You know what? Not only does God want to be our pleasure, so when we eat the tree of life, we take in God as our pleasure. But when we eat the tree of life, God has pleasure. It's the Garden of Eden. God named it. That means it's His pleasure. That garden is His pleasure. When you eat the tree of life, He is very pleased. This is what makes God happy, is to eat the tree of life. So may we take in this life. Now, I'd just like to give you a practical way, all right? John 6:63. How can you enjoy the life of God? It's in your spirit. We talked about that with John. He's got the well gushing up in him. Sing, call, right? Pray, contact the Lord. But in John 6:63, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and our life. The words, God's word contains the life of God. The word it's a container. It's a seed of life. It has life within it. And when we touch that word with our spirit, the word becomes spirit and life. When you touch the word, when you pray over the word, that word will become life to you. So again, I ask you, I beg you, please, please, every day, spend a little time in the word. If you spend time in the word, you will touch the life of God again and again. Even that word will just wash you, just washes us from all the negative things. It washes us with His life. It washes us inwardly, metabolically. It cleanses us. So please, please take the word each day. Now, Roman numeral 2, can we read together? Daily, we should partake of the divine nature and enjoy what God is. So we've enjoyed God's life. Now we need to enjoy God's nature. And what is God's nature? Let's read letter A. The divine nature refers to the riches of what God is. God is love, light, and spirit. And that's what the next three points that we will cover. The nature of God is the riches of what God is. What is God? God is love, God is light, and God is spirit. So God not only wants you to enjoy His life, but God wants you to enjoy His nature. His nature, all that He is. Love, light, and spirit. So let's see these wonderful points. How about let's read letter B. Love is the nature of God's essence. This is the nature of God's essence. If you open up God, what will you see? Love. Love is the nature of God's essence. His essence, His being, is just love. We see in 1 John 4:8 and 16 this phrase, God is love. Dear young people, not only does God love, but God is love. He is love. The world today talks about love. That's not the real love. God is love. The real love is God Himself. This is love. Number one says, love is the inner substance of God. Oh, that's a good point to underline. Just chew on. Love is the inner substance of God. What is inside God is just love. It's His inner substance. He's full of love. His great love with which He loved us. In two, God loves the world. That is, God loves man. The biggest misunderstanding man has toward God is to think that God hates man or that He wants to punish man. God's feeling toward man is forever love. When we talk about the world, God loves the world. The world here refers to fallen mankind. Even the mankind that we've talked about in message one. Any who have fallen into the sins, the evil, the wickedness, the darkness. You know what? God still loves them. They're made in God's image. He loves all man. We need to know the love of God. We need to know God is love. We need to partake of His love. If we partake of His love, we will have His love towards others. You know, as we hear words of this concerning the godless age, there may be a thought in us, oh yeah, man, that age is godless. Man, I don't want to be with any people. I'm just going to be with the saints. But you know, the Lord's heart is for all men. And even when Paul got saved in Acts 26, you know what the Lord said there, what the verse says? He said, delivering you from the Gentiles to whom I send you. He delivers us. He wants to deliver you from this godless age. But it doesn't mean that we're all going to go and live on the mountain. Yeah. What was it, Mount Rainier? I saw a mountain on the way from the airport. A beautiful mountain, yeah. He doesn't want us to go and all live there and be a holy people, wear white robes till he comes. He wants us to love the world. Not to be part of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But he wants us to have his feeling towards the men in the world, towards the women in the world, that they could be saved. Why hasn't the Lord come? Some in Peter, it says that some mock. Oh, you say Jesus is coming? You know why he hasn't come, it says in Peter? Because of his long suffering, that more would be saved. On one hand, of course, he needs the bride to be prepared, but he wants more to be saved. There's not enough that have received the Lord. Are all the rest of the people on the earth going to perish, going to go to the lake of fire? That's not his heart. The lake of fire was prepared for Satan and his angels. It was not prepared for man. God loves man. And if we love God and if we experience his love, we would have his love for man. May the Lord fill our heart with his love. So he loves fallen mankind. And you know what it says in John 3:16? We know this famous verse, but I was touched freshly with this. For God so loved. You ever notice that little word? So loved. It doesn't just say God loved the world. God so loved the world. He so loved the world. He loves the world so much. These fallen mankind, the ones that would rebel against him, that would mock him, that would speak evil of him, that would say there is no God. You know what his response is? He just loves them. On the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This is his heart towards all men, is that he loves man. His feeling towards man is forever love. And you know what? Because he loves man, he gave his only begotten Son. If you love the world, you will give them Christ. This is what God did. God loved the world, so he gave his only Son. You say, oh yeah, his Son, he gave his Son. But let me tell you, his Son is everything he has. The Son, all that the Father has is in the Son. So when he gave his Son, his only begotten Son, the Son in whom he found his delight, this is the Son. When he gave his Son, he gave everything. He gave everything for the world, for the fallen mankind. He so loved the world that he gave his Son. If you love the world, if you love the fallen mankind, you would give them Christ. This is what they need. All men, they need the Lord. So give Christ to others. This shows that you love them. In Luke 15, I just was touched. I just wanted to share a little bit about the love. This chapter, Luke 15, shows the love of the triune God. I'd already mentioned the verse about the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him to hear him, right? He was a holy, righteous God, but yet he could be with these ones. And of course, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." What kind of guy is this? You know what kind of guy this is? This is a guy who loves the world. Amen. Yeah, he just welcomes others. When new ones come to our meetings, do we welcome them? They have a nose ring, purple hair. Or do we say, ooh, I think I'm going to sit over here with my other brothers. I don't feel comfortable being next to that person who just came in. May the Lord broaden our heart to love all man, just as the Lord does. He can eat with them. He can talk to them. And they're comfortable with him. And in this parable, you have the son. You know what kind of love the son has? The son, in this parable, Luke 15, has a love of leaving the 99. Leaving the 99 and going after the one. This is the kind of love the son has. He leaves the 99. He goes after the one. Are you the one? He's gone after you. Maybe you were the one. Maybe you will be the one. But the son, he'll leave the 99 just to go after the one. And when he goes after the one, listen to this kind of love. He goes after that one until he finds it. He doesn't say, you know what? I tried. I gave him a few phone calls. They didn't respond. I guess they're not open. He goes after them until he finds it. Are there any of the dear young people, your companions that may not be here this week with us? Right? When you go back, call them, contact them, share with them, right, what you've enjoyed this week. Go after them until you find them. This is the love of the son. Then once he finds the sheep that's lost, you know what he does? He doesn't say, hey, Kate, okay, I got you. All right, come on, let's go. Go back. Probably the sheep got lost, right, got wounded. He lifts them on his shoulders. Have you ever lifted someone on your shoulders? What does that mean? To pray for them, to bear them. This is the love of the son. He goes after the one. His love is a love until he finds them. And when he finds them, he puts them on his shoulders and brings them back. What a love the son has. You know what kind of love the spirit has? The spirit is a sweeping woman. Sweeping. Have you experienced the sweeping within you? The woman lights a lamp and sweeps inside of us. This is the love of the Spirit. The Spirit's love is a sweeping love. He comes into us. We're on our phone. We've been looking at Instagram, scrolling down. It's been about 45 minutes now. And there's just a little sweeping. I think it's time to do your homework now. Yeah. You just have a little sense. Yeah. He didn't say don't go on Instagram. He let you go on Instagram. You didn't have any feeling. Yeah, let me just check out what's going on, catch up. But it's been 45 minutes. It's probably good, right? I mean, you've seen a lot. You've seen a lot of pictures. Yeah, you caught up with everybody. And so the little sweeping inside. Yeah, just set that down. Let's get your homework done. There's a meeting tonight, right? That little sweeping, he loves you. That little sense within your spirit, that sweeping, that bothering love, that touch is the love of the Spirit. You know, a week ago or so, I was at home and my wife, she had a bag of sour cream and onion chips. And so we were just sitting there and she was eating the chips. And so I was noticing that she was eating the chips. And so after a number of chips, I took the bag. Yeah, we were sitting next to each other. I took the bag from the middle, and I moved it over here. Yeah. and she said, I only had 8. The serving size is 11. So I gave the bag back, 3 more. Yeah. And then I put the bag over here again. What is that? That's love. That's love. Yeah. I love my wife. I want to help her. Yeah. Just like she helps me too. Yeah. I could give you other examples, but I think that one is effective. Yeah. This is the love of the Spirit. Yeah. He bothers us. He sweeps in us. We just have a feeling. We're just uncomfortable. Why did this prodigal son return? Because the Spirit was sweeping in him. and he came to himself. During our day, sometimes the Lord needs to bring us to ourself. We just get caught up in things. Yeah, we're just lost. And we're just spending hours doing things that we shouldn't be doing, that we're just wasting our time. We need the Spirit to sweep in us because he loves us. He doesn't want us just to go on like that. He wants to care for us. And finally, the Father's love. What kind of love does the Father have? You know, the Father, he's just waiting there for the Son to return. For the Son to return. He's just waiting. He's just watching. He's every day, he's looking. He's looking out the door. He's looking. Is my Son coming yet? Not yet. Is my Son coming yet? Not yet. Is my Son? Then when the Son comes, what does the Father do? The Father runs to that Son. He runs to us. And what does he do? He embraces him. He falls on his neck. He kisses him affectionately. The Father doesn't say, Son, what did you do with the inheritance? Did you have a good time out there? Yeah? You like being out in the world? How did that go for you? The Father does not speak one word of condemnation. Have you experienced the Father's love? When you come back to the Father just receives you. He just welcomes you. The first word of the Father is, you know what? Bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Slaughter the fattened calf. Get the ring. Get the sandals. My Son is home. This is the Father's love. Not one word of condemnation, of judgment, but just welcoming, receiving us. This is the Father's love. I hope we would all experience this. And I hope we would all become this. Right? We would be such persons. Maybe some have left the church life. We grew up with some. They were with us. They were with us in junior high and high school. In the conferences. We enjoyed the Lord together. We prayed together. We read the Bible together. But they're not here. Right? They're somewhere else. But I hope when we meet them, we would just have such a heart of love for them, right? Just to welcome them. No judgment, no condemnation, just a hug. Just so good to see you, brother. Now in number 3, it says, God commends his own love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us even when we were his enemies. Even when we were his enemies. God's love is eternal, my dear brothers and sisters. The love with which he loves us will never change. Isn't that encouraging? The love with which he loves us will never change. It's an unchanging love. Have you experienced the love in the world, the love of others, friends in the world? They love you when things are good. They love you when you have money. It's like the prodigal son. Once the money was gone, see you later, buddy. That's what kind of love is that? Do you want to have a life of that kind of love? Of just temporary love? Changeable love? Just changes from day to day? But the love of God is unchanging. The Lord said in Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an eternal love. I have loved you with an eternal love. His love never changes for you, young people. I hope you would know God's love. I hope you would know it. It wouldn't just be a theory to you, but you would know within in your inner being, you would touch God's love. It's an eternal love. The love of God is boundless, unlimited, and immeasurable. In Ephesians 3, it says, the knowledge surpassing love. It's knowledge surpassing, but we can know it. Go figure that one out. Wow. Knowledge surpassing, but we can know it. How? We can know it by experience. We can know it in our innermost being. We can know this love, the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. As we let him make his home in our heart, then we will know this knowledge surpassing love of Christ. 6 says, God's love is not a general kind of love. Rather, it is a romantic love. Are you ready for some romance? God loves us not only in a merciful way, but in a romantic way. He loves us in this way because he desires to join himself to us. God's love is a romantic love. He, in these verses, many verses here that talk about his love, when we read the account of the children of Israel in the wilderness, all we see is their murmuring and complaining and reasoning. You know what God sees? He says it was a time of love. Oh, it's a time of love. They were complaining. We don't have water. Why'd you bring us out here to die? God says it was a time of love. Love is like this, right? Love is blind. Yeah, we just, oh, I just love you. I just love you. Oh, but I did this. I forgot to do this. I love you. I just love you. This is God's love for us. It's an affectionate love. Affectionate love. It's a romantic love. You know, when you love the Lord in a romantic way, many times those that are couples, some of us married brothers, we can testify, there may be a special name for our wife, for our spouse. Yeah. An affectionate name. You know, they have their name on their driver's license, but there's another name. Yeah. There's another name that we call them. Yeah. An affectionate name. How about you and the Lord? Do you have a name for the Lord? Sweetie Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Yeah. Something. Dear beloved. Yes. You need to have a name for the Lord. Yeah, you just call him. Oh, well, you're just filled with his love. Oh, I think this would make him really happy. He would be really happy to enjoy the name. And you know, also with romance, what I've been learning the last 16 and a half years, it's good to be spontaneous sometimes. If I look at my watch, you go, oh, look at that. Yeah, you know what? It is the 14th day of the month of February. Oh, I guess I better get some chocolate. Yeah. That's not very romantic. Yeah. Why? Because everybody else is doing it. Oh, you were just on your way out of the grocery store. And, yeah, the flowers were on sale. Yeah. But if I would do something like on August 19th, what's that? Nothing. It's not a special day at all in my house. And I brought my wife some flowers. Oh, romantic. Why don't you surprise the Lord sometimes? Yeah, you're just in the middle of your studying. You're just on your way to class. You say, Lord, I love you. Or you just stop and you just begin to say, oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. We should sing our love to the Lord. Singing is a wonderful way to be in the romance with the Lord. I tell you, when I was a young person like you, just so many songs I enjoyed singing. I was telling brothers before the meeting, growing up, there was many songs, even that came from the Northwest, of loving the Lord, that I just enjoyed so much. Of course, this was about 30 years ago. Yeah, but just loving the Lord, pouring out on the Lord, enjoying the Lord. This is a wonderful way. I just encourage you, sing your love to the Lord. Take Hymn 1158. Dear Lord Jesus, precious Jesus, thou hast won each love from me. Who like thee, so fair and comely? Who like thee, so sweet and lovely? You just spend some time, maybe your morning time tomorrow, take a verse from a love song and just pray and just love the Lord. Be in this romance with the Lord. The more we're in this romance, the more the Lord transforms us, right? We begin as a horse. We end up as the Shulamite. How does this happen? By love. It happens by love. He loves us and we love him. You know, when you love the Lord, what happens is you open your being to him. So then you can pray even some of the prayers we mentioned last night. Lord, whatever you want to do in my life. You can't pray that if you don't really love the Lord. But when you touch his love, you enjoy his love, you just want to give everything to him. This is the sweet love of the Lord. 7 says, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Even we cannot separate ourselves from the love of God. God's love will never forsake us. Never forsake us. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. No one, nothing. So lastly, 8 says, God is for us because from eternity, his heart loved us. His love is our security. So I just give you two phrases. Love is the source of God's salvation. And love is the sweetness of our consecration. Yeah, it's all related to love. We need to know the love of God, and that love which has been poured into our hearts would become our love for him and our love for man and our love for the brothers and sisters. We would just be filled with love. Now, I need to go quicker for the last few points here. C says light. So love is the nature of God's essence. Light is the nature of God's expression. So when you see God, what do you see? Light. God's expression is light. In 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I think one of the hymns that we enjoy singing is hymn 426. O may thy living light, Lord, scatter all my night, and everything make bright, for this I pray to thee. Do we really mean it when we sing this song? Or do we just enjoy the tune? I hope we would really be open to the Lord's light. He loves us. He comes as love to us. But he also comes as light. We need to be in the light. Even meeting by meeting, the Lord wants to bring us more into the light. Number 1 says, what does light do? Light exposes the true condition of man. We may think we're something. We may think we're somewhere. We may think we're more advanced, but the light comes and we see where we really are. This is a mercy of the Lord that we can have light, right? Don't be afraid of the light. Never fear the light. But God's light is a light that comes in Christ. It comes in the Redeemer. The Lamb, Christ as the Lamb is the lamp. God's light doesn't come directly from God. Otherwise, we would be fried. Yeah, God's light comes through Christ in the Lamb. It's approachable. It's pleasant. And it heals us. It shines in us. It exposes us. Light does the following things. Light enables us to see God. If we want to see God, we need light. We need to be in a realm of light. Light enables us to see the divine things in the spiritual realm. Remember? In Ephesians 1, this prayer that we would be enlightened, having been enlightened that you may know, eventually that you may know the church, God's heart's desire. 4 says, light enables man to see real light and realize the true nature of things. Wonderful verse, Psalm 36:9. I encourage you to read this. In your light, we see light. It's not a man-made light. Don't trust in man-made light. You know, in many schools, the school I teach at, above the quad, one of the main entrances, what does it say? Let there be light. Yeah. We have at every graduation, they have a lamp and it has flame coming out of it. Yeah. The lamp of learning. Yeah. That's not real light. Sorry. Yeah. It's not man-made light. It's not natural light. It's not our own light. It's God's light. God's light. And where can we find God's light? In the Word of God. Let me give you the verse. Write this one down. Psalms 119:130. The opening of your words gives light. Gives light. So you know what I'm going to say? Read the Bible. If you want to have God's light, it's in the Word. The Word is full of light. It will shine on us. It will show us where we are. It will show us the true nature of things. And then, number five, light releases us from bondage. You know, the people who were in darkness, they were in bondage. Darkness brings in bondage. When you're in darkness, can you walk around? If this room was completely dark, I don't think we would want to get up, right? Why? Because we're going to bump into things, right? Darkness leads to bondage, but light releases us from bondage. So the more light we have, the more release we will experience. Light delivers us out of confusion. That's what this age is, an age full of confusion. But light will deliver you out of confusion and bring us into order, harmony, and unity. And the final point, seven, light brings in life. What did God do in the restoration of the earth? Let there be light. And then 6 days of life. And then higher light, stronger light, higher life. Oh, young people, you want to enjoy life more deeply, stronger? Open to the light. The more light you receive, the more life you will enjoy. The last aspect of God's nature is spirit. Spirit is the nature of God's person. God is spirit. Let's say it together. God is spirit. As God's nature, the spirit is omnipresent whenever and wherever we desire to fellowship with God. We need only to contact the Spirit because God is Spirit. Whenever and wherever you are, young people, you can enjoy the nature of God because you can enjoy the Spirit in your spirit. When we touch the Spirit, we touch life because the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life. The law of the Spirit of life. So this Spirit is life. And again, I just give you a practical way to enjoy the Spirit. How is it? Ephesians 6:17. The Word is Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word. The Spirit is the Word. Receive it. Receive it, right, by means of all prayer. So the way we can touch the Spirit and enjoy the Spirit is through the Word. John 6:63 also. The words are spirit. Okay, we come to the final point. How about let's read letter E. To partake of the divine nature is to enjoy it and participate in it. When we partake of God, the aspect of what God is become our enjoyment. So we can partake of the divine nature, and we see how to partake in number one. We enjoy the riches of the divine nature through God's precious and exceedingly great promises. You know where those promises are found? In the Bible. Letter A says, the Bible is a book of promises. I read to you some of the promises at the beginning. The covenant, the new covenant, is God's promise. What He will do, that we will all know God. You know another promise of the Lord? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever thorn, whatever difficulty, whatever trial you're going through, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. In Matthew 28:20, the Lord says, I am with you all the days. When I was growing up, one of the hit songs, one of the songs on the top 10 was hymn 575. Not a song high in truth, but a song that was just very comforting as a college student. You know what 575 says? It says, Savior, thou art with me all the days. All the days, right? Good days, bad days, dark days, days of darkness and distress, right? All the days the Lord would be with us. And that's his promise in Matthew 28. I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. What a promise. So what should we do? How about let's read letter B under one. Every time we see a promise in God's word, we have to spend some time before God to pray, to accomplish his promise in us. Amen. In Luke 1, Mary, when she heard the Lord's word concerning having the Lord Jesus, She said, may it happen to me according to your word. Whenever you read the word, just pray that word back to the Lord. Say, amen, Lord. Lord, I believe the word. I amen the word of God. When you amen the word, the Lord will make that word real to you. Finally, we come to number two. Becoming a partaker of the divine nature has a condition that we escape the corruption which is in the world by lust. That's right. So 2 Peter 1:4b, you might become partakers of the divine nature. How? Having escaped the corruption which is in the world by lust. So a requirement for partaking is escaping. We need to escape. What are you doing this week? You're escaping. You're out of there. Get out of there. Maybe it would be good to have right near our bed. We get up in the morning and we just have a sign right near our bed. Escape. Escape. And then another sign. Partake. Escape to partake. And when you partake, you'll escape. These go together. This week, I believe, as you're partaking of the divine nature, more and more you're escaping. Just continue. Continue to partake and escape. Lust is a barrier that keeps us from enjoying the divine nature. If we live according to the lust of the flesh, we cannot become those who enjoy the divine nature. Remember, God is holy, so we cannot enjoy his nature if we're living in the lust of the flesh. So we confess, we turn, we repent, we come back to the Lord, and we partake. We need to live in the cycle of escaping and partaking, and of partaking and escaping. How about let's read Roman numeral 3 together. If we enjoy God and partake of him, we shall be constituted of him. So keep partaking, you will be constituted. The more you're constituted, the more you shall express him. Let me just leave you with a couple verses here. I just wanted to share with you from the book of Philippians. Philippians 2, 15 and 16. This is my prayer for you, that you may be blameless and guileless children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world. When you open to that light, eventually that light will make you light. You will be the light of the world. You will be the luminaries in the world. And as you go to the world, as you go to the campuses this fall, what would you do? Verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life. This is our commission, to hold forth the word of life. So we would be enjoying God's life, God's nature, God's attributes, and we would become such persons holding forth the word of life to others. May the Lord do it. Okay, let's read the focus and then spend a minute to pray two by two. We need to daily enjoy God as life and partake of his divine nature, love, light, and spirit, in order to become. Let's pray over whatever the Lord has spoken to you tonight.